Binary Jazz, a podcast about stuff and things. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts. My name is Chris. I am Jazz Sequence on the internet. That's Gary. He is Binary Gary on the internet. And this is Allison, who is Allison Plus on the internet. And today is an exciting day. Today is an exciting day because it is, if you're Catholic, All Saints Day.
Oh.
But,
of course,
today is also the first day of the playoffs for my home Major League Soccer team. They're probably going to lose, but we won't know until next week when this airs, and I'll either be very sad at that point or very happy at that point. But they'll probably get knocked out by next week, too. If they do win. Yes, Gary, you have something?
The health exchange opened this morning at midnight. So if you're like one of those iPhone people that get up at midnight to be the first in line, congratulations on your new health insurance plan.
Today is also exciting because when this airs, it will be the Friday after the midterm elections.
Oh.
But we don't know how that's going to turn out, so we're either going to be...
Should we film two episodes today?
We're either going to be hopeful or we're going to be miserable.
Maybe we should... I don't know if I can record two episodes today.
A sad one for...
I mean, it could be the same topic. We won't know anything about it after the show's over.
I already voted.
I already voted, too.
I did not. I want the mayhem of Tuesday. I'm taking an infant in my arms. As soon as the polls open at 7 a.m., we're going to tromp down there, cast our votes.
Well, tromp down there, huh?
I guess she'll have to fill out provisional ballots since she's not 18. But
yeah. But you need her there for moral support.
Yeah, we tend to always take the kids.
That's actually seems like a really good thing to do. Show you civic duty.
Yeah, yeah. And it's generally with the kids, it's never really a conversation about, well, it's not really a conversation about the down ballot, but it's more of a conversation about like why do people vote different ways, and recognizing that even though we are convinced 50% of people voting are morons, they probably aren't all morons. Their realization of reality is different than ours, and why it's we have to do this every 2 years. God, it sucks.
But it shows the process. I don't know. I get really like the other I. voted absentee, but then I also, there was a city election, so I voted in that as well. And like, I get nerdily excited because once I was finally allowed to vote, I was like, I'm like standing in line. I'm like super, I don't know. I just get, I'm like in the basement of a church. I'm just, I don't know. I just.
Utah, a couple years ago, switched to primarily mail-in ballots as their primary form. I mean, they still have polls open on election day, but they send everyone gets a mail-in ballot, which I like because I don't like leaving the house. But in past elections, I have had the problem where, like with mail-in ballots, you get it like a month early, and then you're sitting on it because you're waiting for like more information and news about the issues. And you sit on it to the point where, oh shit, election day just came and went. And that's happened a couple of times, not for major election, just for the midterms. But this year we have three ballot initiatives that were, which is unprecedented in Utah, which almost never gets balloted, like organization, like voter, like citizen initiated ballot initiatives, almost never get that stuff. We get lots of constitutional amendments, but not ballot, not voter initiatives. So that's cool. And yeah, so we mailed ours in a couple of weeks ago, so as to not get screwed and forget and yeah. not be able to vote on gerrymandering in medical marijuana.
So I don't mail mine in because I have twice had my mailed in ballot say that my signature doesn't match the signature on file. So
yes. Yeah. That's been a topic of a previous episode and I still find that amusing.
I think, I think it's just further proof that you may or may not be a spy or in the witness protection program.
I mean, yeah, it's probably true.
No, but this, I mean, this year, like, so we were supposed to get like a voter card or whatnot. And we've lived in the same place for like 8 or 9 years. We've gotten voter cards here before. It's been fine. And nobody did. My upstairs neighbor did, but we didn't. And my partner promptly put on the old tinfoil hat and cried, voter suppression! But you just show up with your ID and then they fix it. But still very weird that we...
I think if you do that in the States, you get arrested.
If you yell voter suppression or if you...
No, if you show up with your ID but not the card, I think you get arrested.
Oh. No, luckily...
Only if you're brown.
Yeah. I'm like, with our privilege, we showed up and stood in line and all was for naught. And we voted.
Oh, Allison. Sure, here's a ballot.
He's like, yeah, oh, Allison, over from, oh, okay, yeah, we know you. You've lived in this neighborhood for 10 years. It's fine.
Did we not send you a card? Our mistake.
Our mistake. Next time.
That's just because Canadians are so much nicer.
The election did not turn out how I wanted it to.
That's okay. Do you all do like a control center, like an election night with like laptops and TV turned on or?
I usually only do that for presidential elections, but this year I might do it for the midterms.
Yeah.
It's become so much easier. Like the New York Times, like real time API of returns is pretty good. Years ago, this had to be, it was a presidential election. So 2004, maybe, actually worked. Like volunteered with a guy like reading returns from counties in Florida and updating counties so that he could adjust his projections that were ultimately being fed to someone elsewhere. But that was fun. Refreshing CSV files and dropping in Excel to parse them out to figure out like which counties had added returns because you couldn't feed that stuff back in those days. It was just like, you know, we didn't look at elections in the same way as a county by county thing. Hmm.
In the States, I've only ever voted absentee, so I think that's why I get so excited about voting in person here, because it's so like, it feels so like, I'm like, oh, there's like paper, and then they put this weird cardboard thing over it, like that's secrecy, and then they feed it to the machine, and like, I don't know.
Yeah, it does feel like you do feel empowered when you leave from voting,
yeah.
You know, regardless of the outcome. There's something cool about doing that Tuesday and knowing like tonight my vote will impact, or in most cases not have any impact at all. But you know,
I count it. I'm a number. I'm a cog in this machine.
I am a cog in this machine.
I think I've only voted in person a couple times. I've mostly voted absentee. And
We should have this conversation last week so people would be like motivated to get out and vote.
Yeah.
I did vote.
Motivating people to get out and vote though?
No, not really.
This is the best I got.
I voted in the Democratic primary, the last presidential cycle, so I could put my stamp on Hillary, I believe.
Getting up and out.
Was the primary close in your state or no?
No. I mean, Democratic, it was, probably closer.
I don't know when Utah votes in the grand scheme of nominations, so I'm not sure if you're like a player in the nominee or if it's more symbolic at that point.
Yeah, it's not really. There's not... It's such a red
state. It can't all be Iowa.
It's such a red state that my vote means nothing. Local elections, my vote probably means something, but presidential, we're going to vote the Republican no matter what, except 2016 because the LDS Church was so mad at Trump that they endorsed a third party candidate for a while, and then they retracted it a week before the election. So Trump still won in our state, but we had this random third party dude get 30% of the vote or something. Like,
what party was that third party dude in?
He is independent, I think. Yeah. But like, not Hillary. No way, Hillary. But still.
But this guy.
Yeah.
This other guy. Yeah. But it was weirdly closer in Utah for the presidential race than it was expected because the church just pulls so much weight.
There's a subreddit on people that have left the church.
I bet there is.
Mormons specifically, yeah. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
There are a great many things they do that when you learn about them, you're like, really? One thing.
Mitt Romney is magic underwear.
Well, all Mormons have magic underwear.
I didn't know that.
That's a
thing. I want magical underwear.
Yeah, they have special garments.
Yeah.
That they are required to wear if they want to remain in good standing with the church. So because of that, this thing I didn't.
Are there Mormon specific laundromats then? In the interest of decency, keeping this like holy underwear unholy.
Well, it's not just one pair.
Yeah, right. One thing I didn't realize when I moved was you see a lot of in Utah, you see a lot of women wearing basically like t-shirts underneath tank tops and like spaghetti strap things. And I didn't realize and I just thought that was a weird Utah thing. The reason why that is because they're wearing their garments. And if you were a Mormon woman or girl and you were not wearing something underneath your spaghetti strap or tank top or whatever, then you would be showing that you're not wearing your garment and therefore not a member in good standing of the church. So it's like you would be outing yourself essentially, or showing that you're a bad member of the church and potentially get kicked out. They actually have like cards, I guess, that say this person is allowed to go into the temple. And yeah, you'd lose your card if you exposed their shoulders.
Shut up, I'm a sleeping baby.
And you don't want to lose that card.
Yeah, I mean, it matters particularly if, if you're a student at BYU, if you don't have your card, you get booted.
That's true. There's,
yeah. But now the other thing,
what is going on today?
The other thing that I was going to talk about was they do these really weirdly invasive interviews where they ask. I don't know. I think it's before you get married, and when you're asking your ward bishop for permission, essentially, to get married. And they do this weird, invasive, personal interview where they talk about all of the times you've had any sort of sexual encounters or sexual thoughts or whatever. And they get particularly deep into it for women, like far more than the male counterparts. And they go like everything, and it's really horribly invasive, and people have spoken out about it, and they still do it. They still do it. They've sort of, I guess, maybe started shying a little bit away from it because people have been making a big stink about it in the last couple of years, but it's still a thing that happens. So like, imagine going into the church and like, yeah, we want to get married. And like the dude's like, well, how many times have you had sex? And in what times and where and in what positions? And this is your minister, this is your pastor, this is your religious guidance person, and like, I don't want to tell you that. No, it's not your business. No bearing on the situation here. Have you ever had sex with anyone else besides your partner? I don't know.
Oh, those people have so much
It's like the sample that's used at the beginning of the Nine Inch Nails cover of Get Down, Make Love. Like, what did you do? How did you do it? What did you say? What word did you speak? That's what I want to know. Like,
and that's exactly the comparison that they want to be made.
Yes.
They're like, you know what this is like?
But Trent Reznor has a really good point.
We should integrate this into our
squeaky door.
Our marriage workflow.
Marriage workflow.
Marriage has a workflow, partnership has a workflow. And now Gary's gone.
And now Gary's gone, so we can talk about him behind his back.
Gary. What a guy. Got nothing.
Today is also the week before my birthday.
It is.
Yeah.
So will next week
One week, exactly. So when we air this show next week, it will be the day after my birthday.
Woo! The birthday extravaganza will have been completed.
Yes. Yes. My big plans for, and it's a big one. People are telling me it's a big one. I'm turning 40.
Ooh. So there's a zero in there.
Yeah, there's a zero in there. Must be big. So my big plans for the big 4-0, I want to go bowling.
Nice.
It's my big plan.
Are you a good bowler?
I'm an average bowler. I think I'd be better if I bowled more. I actually did take lessons for a time when I was a kid, so I kind of know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't bowl well, like dry. Like I need several games. I need practice. I need to be doing it on a regular.
I'm now remembering that we have technically bowled together.
That's right. We have. That's right. We did bowling at
I am a poor bowler, but it's one of the things that I'm bad at that I still enjoy.
I
didn't you break a nail when we were bowling?
I believe I did.
Yeah.
Not shocking.
I had my internal microphone and my laptop turned on and not the microphone in my headphones. So when I walked away, I was trying to converse with you on my porch.
Nope.
And I was like, how did they decide, like, without communication to, like, totally ignore me? So I had, like, this existential crisis while I was gone out. Like, maybe I've imagined all this.
You're a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I got in and checked the microphone and it makes so much more sense now.
Yeah.
Occam's razor and whatnot. Is that the topic today?
A group decision to just ignore you for the rest of the episode.
Is all through eye contact.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure, like, if you had, like, hand signals for it or something.
Like, just cut it out.
I was a little panicked, and then I was thinking, well, if it is the microphone, at least I didn't pick up the squeaky door so much today. So.
You just decided.
Failed on both accounts.
Yeah, we decided you table flipped and you were just over it because I hadn't brought up the topic yet or something.
But we're going to now.
Right. Yes, totally. We're totally going to bring up the topic now. The topic is nixtamalization.
Excuse me?
What is it?
Nixtamalization.
Nixtamalization.
Nixtamalizing, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
As it were.
No, I can see. Nixtamal. I can see the wheels working.
Well, nix obviously means nothing. So nixtamalization would mean the nothingization. Wow, that squeaky door.
We're gonna fly to Florida and oil that door.
Yeah, we're gonna put some WD-40 on that door.
I'm still 100% convinced that the microphone just is much more receptive in that frequency range than my ears are. Because it's so, like,
that
not...
door is, whew, that's rough.
Man.
But no one can sleep in your house, so that's good.
Nixtamalization is
somebody would wake up and cry or bark or meow.
Is nulling a...
I shuffle it up if it's a kid or an animal.
A thing. So if I'm nixtamalizing this spreadsheet, I would be emptying the spreadsheet.
Oh.
Is it a form of compression? Is it nixtamalize the extraneous data?
Emptying a spreadsheet, clearly.
You could, I suppose you could nixtamalize the extraneous data, yes.
So to be clear,
if you had an algorithm to
right?
identify what the extraneous data was, then you could nixtamalize the extraneous data.
I feel like this is like a profession.
Nixtamalization is a profession.
Yeah, like Nixtamalization. Like, who's our Nixtamalization list? I'm a member of the Society of Nixtamalization.
An amateur Nixtamalist.
Yeah, the other thing I'm thinking is it's sort of like a nihilist. Because they believe in nothing.
But like, but maybe like a halfway point where they're just like, well, like...
They're more nihilist.
It's the process of becoming a nihilist, right?
Yeah. They're more nihilist.
The first thing you do is shed your religious underpants.
Religious underpants.
Step two is you taunt your priest with made-up crazy sex escapade stories. Step three, you eat Arby's.
Why is the Arby's the step three? Because they've got the meats.
No, it's Arby's Twitter account.
No.
Oh. It's fantastic.
That's a good one.
It's like $2 for $2 recipe sandwiches. Not that it matters. I mean, it's like there's like thousands of tweets like that. It's pretty good. I don't follow it, but I have a friend that does. So I'm not like overloaded on it. He just weeds out the good ones, and when he retweets them, I always laugh and then cry. It's effective. It's effective.
I appreciate following people who do the weeding and the best of cultivating for me from those accounts.
Oh yeah, this guy's crazy. I don't actually know him in real life, but I feel like I know him in real life because we've interacted quite a bit on Twitter. I don't even actually know what state he lives in. We are fans of the same football.
I still love phrases like that though, because technically you don't know me in real life.
I know you in real life.
Oh yeah. Shit, you're right.
For some people I exist in a real life way, and some people I don't. This
really is a downer an episode today, y'all.
How is that a downer?
It's not downer yet. It'll be downer next week when we're all depressed.
We start with voting. We roll into whether I exist or not. And then we roll into like the existence of everyone on the show.
I exist in a very real
sure,
way.
You would say that. I would too.
That will be my next tweet. I exist in a very real way. Shout into the void.
I can concur that Allison does exist. However, I might not exist because you've never met me in person either.
I do know that you're 40 years old next Thursday.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me.
Not that it matters.
Not that it matters.
It's funny that the zero is the thing that it's like, it's a big birthday. And it's just like, well, 39 could have been a big birthday.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean, the 40th birthday is just celebrating the 40 years I've already been here. This is not like a new thing today. It's like, no, this is actually my 41st year.
With bowling.
You've completed 40 laps around the sun. That's
true.
In the cosmic scheme of things.
That is something.
That's something.
40 laps around the sun.
Not that it matters.
You nixtamalist.
It's next to Gary.
Golly. So we let's talk about Halloween for a minute. Since it's a
okay,
day.
Let's talk about it.
I love Halloween, not for costumes or candy. Those things are great. I love Halloween, and I'm also an introvert, so I hate like the like people part of Halloween. But I love observing, like as I walk around the neighborhood with the kids. Like we trick or treat in our neighborhood. The past few years. Previously, we'd go and trick-or-treat in my parents' neighborhood because they want to see the kids in costume. Easy for us to go there, blah, blah, blah. But now we trick-or-treat in our neighborhood. And I love seeing, like, the differences in like, people's approach to Halloween and the kinds of people and groups and the way they, like, flock together and decide to go to houses or whatnot and, you know, like, well, these people just left the bowl outside. They're very trusting, you know, or people left the bowl outside sitting on top of a chair. I wonder if that chair will be there tomorrow. This is more about me than them or the people. But I find that all fascinating. Like, I'm fighting a cold. So after two streets, I'd had enough of it, but we still had two more to go. So at that point, I was kind of like, well, these people all suck. Let's go to bed. Yeah, really fascinating. We put out a basket of candy and it was like, it wasn't crappy stuff. I mean, it was like Smarties and Tootsie Rolls. So it was like, it wasn't the stuff you don't want, but it was like the stuff you eat last, obviously. half of it was there. Like when I went to take the dog out last night, the basket was only half empty.
Or was it half full?
No, it's half empty. Maybe it was half full. In this case, that would be the most pessimistic approach. Like, it's half full. I don't want any of this shit.
That's true.
So I have a half a basket of Smarties. Like, and to be clear, American Smarties.
Okay.
Not the Canadian Smarties.
I was just about to clarify, because I was just like...
I'll take them all.
Yeah, this is very confusing.
I'm trying to remember what else is in there. There's like gumdrops, which are probably tier C. I don't know what else is in there. Only Smarties and Tootsie Rolls stand out to me.
Tootsie Rolls are great. Are they bottom of the barrel for most people? Oh.
I think they're tier B. There's tier A, like, which are candy bars, right? And like tier, I don't know, 1,000 is like the full candy bar, but that's mythical. So like tier A is like the mini candy bars,
the
right?
The kids got full bags of Skittles last night.
Wow.
Like more than one, too.
People are really ramping up.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? Like my son was eating a bag of Skittles. I'm like, you got a bag of Skittles? Like, and then he pulls out another one and he says, Lila got two too. I'm like, what? Actually, no, he said Lila got three, I think.
Dude,
I know.
Wow.
Do you see the phenomenon where people make like little like bags, like plastic bags containing like equal amounts of candy so they can hand each kid like, here's four pieces of candy.
That's not, you can't do that because you can put drugs in that.
Oh, why would anyone give away their drugs?
Loose candy? Wait, what's happening?
No, it's still
always what I say.
A decorative bag.
Oh, wrapped candy, just in a larger
decorative bag. Yeah, with like an orange or black like twist tie.
Well, no, I have seen that. I have seen that, but no, nobody was giving those away last night.
That's
I'm
really
gonna be
popular.
The person that like is giving away pennies and dental floss or something. Well, not pennies.
I used to get pennies.
We don't have them anymore, but
yeah,
that would have been a good idea actually to give away pennies now that nobody uses.
Yeah.
What a jerk move.
Yeah, we actually the kids were my daughter was complaining because she didn't get anything that wasn't candy last night. Because usually there's at least something that's like a pencil or, you know, like some random other thing. But yeah, they just got candy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just candy. Shucks.
We did two trunk or treats or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And trick or treating last night. So kind of over. We handed out like pencils at one of the trick or trunks.
What do you do with all the candy? Do the kids actually eat all the candy, or do you get to a certain point and like, okay, we're gonna
so
cut
weird.
Off and we're just
so
gonna
weird.
You're so weird. Okay, because I'm weird too. So I want to hear how you're weird about this.
So we have these buckets the kids can keep special treats in, which are candy or other, like, you know, wrapped cookies or whatever, right? And generally, like, they can have one piece after dinner. So Halloween lasts until, like, Easter, and then they get a crap ton more, and that carries them over to Halloween. So, like, these buckets have been ongoing, I mean, for years. And, like, when it gets, like, really full and you can't fit more, then you go, let's dump some of the crap you're not going to eat. And then it's back to normal, and then it gets, last night it got replenished, and they're going to dump some stuff today, or we're going to put it in a bag and drop it off somewhere else, and someone else, you know? Like, what am I going to do with a basket full of Smarties, for God's sakes? Actually, I'm going to get some Smarties right now.
What am I going to do? Well, maybe you're going to eat them.
So we started doing, several years ago, visits from the Great Pumpkin. Huh. And the Great Pumpkin is related to the Tooth Fairy. So the Great Pumpkin takes all of your...
So you're saying it's made up?
No. The Great Pumpkin, it's a type of fairy is what I'm saying. It's a pumpkin.
Subset.
Just go with me. The Great Pumpkin comes and visits, and it takes all the candy that you're done with. Like, not the candy you've eaten, but the candy that, like, okay, we're not going to eat the rest of this candy. Mm-hmm. And the Great Pumpkin will take that candy, and in exchange, because the Great Pumpkin really likes candy and eats all the candy. So the Great Pumpkin takes all the candy and gives you some sort of toy or prize or Lego set or something. So that's how we get around, like, okay, you've had way too much freaking candy and there's still a big old bag full.
Yeah. I like this.
Great Pumpkin.
It makes me wish I had something to trade. I'm like, I don't have candy. That's the problem here.
How are we down to the countdown already?
We've been talking about Halloween and not about nixtamalization.
Which is exactly, maybe that's exactly what nixtamalization is.
Talking about Halloween?
No, yeah, avoiding the topic.
Avoiding the topic. Yes.
God, we're good at it.
We've been nixtamalizing this entire time.
Is that really what it is?
No, I wish it was.
What is it?
So it's the process. Okay, so for corn tortillas specifically, which is why this is relevant, because I think I was like, there's a chance that someone might actually know this food-wise. But it's the process for the preparation of corn or maize that makes corn tortillas like possible and delicious. So soaked in like a lime water lye situation, and then it removes certain toxins. But it's relevant because of the corn tortilla thing, because it's what makes those like amazing, when they make those amazing maize fresh corn tortillas that I can eat.
So it's the flux capacitor of corn tortillas.
Yeah, exactly. So nixtamalized maize has several benefits over unprocessed grain because it's more easily ground and it increases the nutrition and flavors better and all these things. And it basically creates like what helps the tortilla stick together at the end of the day.
I'm going to like walk into a taco place after this call and be like, one of your finest nixtamalized tortillas, sir.
Yeah. And if like, if they know what you're talking about, that's how you know that it's going to be an amazing taco.
I do have like an unofficial list of good corn tortillas in town that I kind of go to. So
that probably has something to do with it.
I'm sure it does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like, it's and it makes me hungry for tacos. So
I wish we spent more time talking about it. Katie was a taco last night.
That's because both of your families and your costume ideas are just stellar. I've never been more pleased in my life.
I think I know the answer to this, but do you feel that Halloween costumes need to be spooky? Or is just dressing up okay?
No, I think it's just a way of expressing yourself in an amazing way. Yeah.
I ran into someone that was grumpy about that yesterday. Like, what's with these non-spooky costumes? It's being a grumpy asshole about Halloween.
Yeah. No, so I actually did, I have a blog post that's 8 years, six years old, where I actually did research on the history of Halloween, which has its roots in the Celtic holiday of Samhain, the whole dressing up thing. So the idea is that there are these pivotal parts of the days in the calendar that are basically bookend the year, where the gateway between our natural world and the spirit world is opened. So Samhain is one of them and Beltane is the other one. Beltane's on May 1st, Samhain is on October 31st. So bookending the year. And on these days, spirits and fairies can come through into our world and interact with us in both good and bad ways. So the reason why you dress up is either because you want to scare off the bad spirits, or you want to disguise yourself so that you're not attacked by bad spirits, or you just want to confuse them. Like they used to have, instead of dressing up, you might wear your clothes inside out to confuse the spirits. And you want to put things out for them so that they are happy or placated. And you also want to invite the good spirits in. So you might leave an empty space at the dinner table for late Uncle Bob. So that he can be part of your dinner, your feast.
I hope they're into like almost rotten pumpkins. We've had a hot October, so the pumpkins we carved are like borderline.
Not looking. They might be gone
today. They used to carve turnips and other sort of root vegetables instead of pumpkins. So there would be turnip lanterns.
I mean, I'm down with that. That sounds awesome. Years ago, we got like the little tiny pumpkins, like wondering like, can you carve these tiny ones?
We've tried.
Yes. But the wall is like, it's like 60% pumpkin wall. Mm-hmm. So do it at your own peril. It's almost like, it's like avocado hand, right? That's the risk you're running.
That's true. That's not the ER visit that you want to have to explain to someone.
Yeah, and they also wilt a lot faster. They like wilt within a day as opposed to being okay for a couple of days.
Most pumpkins you get at Patches are not, you can't plant the seeds. They won't germinate or whatever seeds do. But one of the pumpkins we were carving, we pulled out and there were like four seeds that were already growing. So I'm pretty excited about planting those and killing them promptly like I do with all other things I plant.
We got accidental pumpkins 1 year because we dig compost pits in the backyard. And so we, you know, all the pumpkin guts go into the compost pit. And then 1 year, during planting time, we had something growing out of, I mean, we usually have something growing out of the compost pit, to be honest, just because it happens on its own. And one year that thing growing out of the compost pit was a pumpkin vine, a big old pumpkin vine that wanted to take over the entire garden. And so we had pumpkins that year because it was growing out of the compost.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I also love the phrase accidental pumpkins.
Yes.
So they like, I guess my biggest concern is what kind of weather they like. Okay, if I plant it now, is it going to be problematic, or should I just keep the seeds and, I don't know. I need to do some research on this.
I mean, if it's growing now, you might as well plant it now. Yeah. It might not, it might last the year. I mean, usually you plant that stuff in the spring, so, and then you harvest it in, I mean, now. The reason why we have pumpkins is because this is the time where you would harvest your pumpkin.
I do something with them.
And other squash, too. Like, when the weather, pumpkin, squashes in general are something that can withstand cold weather more so than other types of vegetables and plants. So, the reason why we have pumpkins and squashes around Thanksgiving and Halloween is because that is when you'd be harvesting them.
I guess my question is, can I grow pumpkins on like the first level of hell, you know, like
the first level of hell might be a little bit too hot for pumpkins to really be.
That's my fear.
Yeah. Happy, but
too lush.
you could try. And I mean, they seem to be pretty resilient regardless. So I don't know.
They do. Yeah.
I think you should grow them indoors. I'm sure you're.
Oh no, don't do that.
Sure, that'll work out fine.
Don't do that. Yeah. 6 months, your entire house will be taken over by your pumpkin plant.
It's your normal pumpkin patch.
Well, this shot, this angle right here will just be covered in pumpkin vines.
Vines. Yeah. I'll be like knocking pumpkins off the back of the couch.
No, that's legit. Yeah, no, don't do that.
I picture them rolling by like tumbleweeds and like very animated, like Muppety pumpkins all of a sudden.
With less than a minute left, do we have any questions? Do we want to talk about pumpkins more? Or I can ask a question.
You can. Let's hear your question, Gary.
I didn't really have one prepared.
now you do.
But now I can ask one.
Less than a minute, Gary.
Well, I'm trying to think of something that's not too political.
No pressure.
I don't want to alienate any of our listeners.
Our listener? She's on the show.
Just ask me the question.
Our one listener's on the show. You can't alienate her. She's here.
Do you think that the polarized politics in America and our current situation have a negative effect on like international support of international issues? We're so internally focused right now on the mayhem that's happening within our borders in this hemisphere, right? Does that negate some of our outward looking support of other countries that are in like way worse shape?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And to what extent, like,
the short answer? Yes.
Yeah. The 1 minute answer.
So I shouldn't ask yes or no question, but like, what do we do about that? I mean, I guess it was a leading question, but what do we do?
Kick out the guy on top.
First step, yes.
Yeah.
And
vote, yes. And vote to kick the guy out.
Vote in general. I have a longer answer, but I know I'm going to get cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's a good question. We'll have to
see. That's not an end of show question.
You can join us on Slack and chat about this a lot.
Or you can send us questions online because we need questions. Please call send us a question through call us. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.